He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday Halloween edition of the Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we are off to a kind of a trek, not a treat, start to the market so far. The Dow is down 132 on weak earnings from Caterpillar and Amgen. And that puts the Dow at 32,797. The S&P 500 is down 12 points at 4,154. The NASDAQ is down 74. Amgen is also a member of the NASDAQ, so that's having an impact. And I looked and saw that NVIDIA was down about 2.5%, 3%, something like that also. So the NASDAQ down 61 right now to 12,728. The small caps are about flat right now. Crude oil is up 41 cents to 82.72. The fear gauge gold is at $2,007 per ounce as the war in Israel really escalating here this morning. Silver's down 16 cents to 23.24. And the 10-year, well, there's good news there, and we'll elaborate on that on a bit. The needs, the amount of debt being auctioned was not as gargantuous. It's only huge. It's not gargantuous, and that's helping the bond market. We're down one basis point to 4.86%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and we are off to the races here this morning on this last day of October, with just 2 months left in 2023, and we have more of a trick than a treat so far in the market this morning, and I'm going to blame two stocks, really. Caterpillar is getting hit pretty hard. They reported earnings. Caterpillar, kind of a bellwether for the global economy. It's down 5.8%, and it is a member of the Dow. And also Amgen.
Yeah, and the Caterpillar is a perfect story of, you know, of future guidance, right? Versus, I think for the quarter, blew out earnings, but it's really about their go-forward guidance, and you talk about all the time that you know, it's really what the market's looking forward, and that's where that stock on the surface it would look great, but
absolutely,
on a go-forward basis, things have changed.
Yes, and Amgen is down 3.7%. It's a member of the Dow, and it's a member of the S&P 500. Now, well, lest we forget, we had a huge day in the market yesterday. Okay, the Dow was up over 500 points yesterday. There wasn't really any news driving it. There were not really any earnings reports or anything. I just think it was probably like a rubber band being stretched too far, you know, with a little bit of a snap back yesterday. You had a very big day, but as I looked underneath the surface, you know, that's where I can really see whether it's a quality move or not. I didn't think it looked very good underneath the surface. So it was up 511 yesterday. The S&P was up 49 yesterday. I didn't think it looked very good underneath the surface. Ditto the NASDAQ, which was up 146 points yesterday. But that was yesterday. This is today, and we have started off on a weak note here so far on this Tuesday, this Halloween. We have a 1% gain yesterday. We hit correction territory yesterday. Now, this morning, the first thing I look at are the indexes, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, and those small cap indexes. And I sent out my current technical analysis of those indexes. And I sent out to our clients and subscribers where my lines in the sand are on the market. Well, Gunderson, you said earnings would win out. Yes, but we have now a black swan event that has come along that we were not anticipating. And it just seems to me that it's playing a much bigger role in the markets right now than we realize, and that would be this war that came out of nowhere three Saturdays ago and is now really escalating. And, you know, the bothersome news to me this morning were guided missiles coming from Yemen. Now, Yemen is way to the south of Israel. And they shot one of those down over the Red Sea.
Yeah, and went over Saudi Arabia, I believe.
Yes,
in territory. So that's
that is not
some kind of violation as well.
They don't know violations, you know, in Iran and Yemen and all this kind of thing. And you know, the problem with Yemen, it would be very hard for Iran to get weapons into the Gaza Strip. Because there's no easy way of doing that. They have been smuggling in weapons, obviously. Where did they get the thousands of missiles that continue to fly into Israel? I mean, thank God for the Iron Dome, which shoots down almost all of them. I mean, in the high 90 percentile. But Yemen's another story because Yemen, I mean, Iran could directly supply Yemen very easily, and that's where the Houthi rebels are. That's the equivalent of Hamas in Israel. So for that reason, we have a new element in the market. It's a fear element. It's the fear gauge. If you don't believe me, look at the price of gold at $2,009 per ounce. So the technicals on the indexes are pretty precarious right now. And if they cross below a line in the sand, I already have two inverse hedges in place. Well, I would look at those inverse hedges and possibly add to them. Now, we've had a lot of earnings come in here.
And we also still have some exposure to energy. So, I mean, there's a hedge there as well in terms of some kind
of fear premium energy,
potentially.
You know,
you haven't seen it because of the
84.
Demand function, right? Demand side
right.
being down, but you know, any kind of disruption, right, would certainly change that price outlook and supply outlook.
So far today we have BP reporting. That's the old British Petroleum. We'll get to that. Caterpillar, which we mentioned. We've got Amgen's earnings in. We have also Anheuser-Busch, which is a Bud, or InBev, actually, is the name of it these days.
Right.
And then tonight, I think AMD is going to be a very big, critical earnings report. Now, we could look to last week. We had a really good report out of Intel, which is more PC-related. And AMD obviously has a lot of exposure to the PC market. So I don't know what to expect from AMD, to be honest with you. I hope it has the same kind of trend that Intel has. Its chart is very precarious right now. And a bad report would probably break it below, you know, some very important technical levels. So that's something I have to be on guard for tonight after the close. Tomorrow.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, that downward trend, right, all on, you know, basically zero news, right, for the company. So it's not,
it's
like,
all a multiple.
It's not like some, yeah, it's not like some report came out where, you know, this is affecting their business or, you know, or any new news. It's simply, like you said, it's really a function of multiple. Which
and
we see on a lot of charts recently.
Yeah, there is one other factor there. There were some bad semiconductor chip reports kind of on the periphery out there, but there's still chip stocks had a very bad report, and that to spread to STM Electronics and a few others as there's some supply chain issues. So that's also kind of hurt the chip sector. The crackdown on China, that's affecting NVIDIA today. One analyst predicted that will cost NVIDIA $5 billion in sales. And yet NVIDIA said it won't have any impact on their short term. That's what they've been saying.
Yeah, my guess is the demand is so high that they'll, you know, find another place to divert those. The question is, you know, long term, right, where future growth is in different markets and things of that nature.
Yes. Now, tomorrow it'll be CVS, Qualcomm, PayPal, Roku, Airbnb, DuPont, Marathon Oil, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Yum Brands.
The smorgasbord.
That's a pretty good list there.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, it's going to be Apple. And you know what? I'm not expecting good things from Apple. They've got their kind of a demand issue there that's not there for their new iPhone. All right, we got a lot to talk about when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We are in the midst of earnings season. 50% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported as of last Friday. They're coming in today. Just a few more to look forward to here on Thursday. Starbucks, Shopify, Conoco, Lilly, that will be a big one. Get an update on their weight loss drug. Booking Holdings, Marriott.
Yeah, Novo Nordisk is having a great day, by the way.
That's good. I love that little stock. Okay, then AMD tonight, it's going to be all about the PC shipments. I think it's a kind of a crapshoot which way AMD will report. I'm hoping for some good reports. AMD has seen pretty good downgrades to its estimates. Not big, but it's been headed in that direction, lowering estimates by the analyst over the last 3 months. The earnings per share forecast have been revised downwards 28 times compared to just 3 upward moves. So we'll see. I mean, AMD, though, is pretty much a buy across the board by most analysts, and it will be a very important report tonight. Now, okay, this news was supposed to come out on Wednesday, and Barry, I see it came out today about the Treasury's plans for borrowing, and we were expecting this to come out Wednesday. That's what we were told.
I guess what they meant in terms of when, in terms of coinciding with the Fed meeting, I guess that means the Fed's meeting today.
Maybe.
And tomorrow. I know the announcement for the Fed's tomorrow, but yeah, that was a weird combination because you got one that's there for 2 days, and then of course the Fed Treasury announcement, you know, being a single day.
Well, you can thank California. California got a pass. They got a delay of when their taxes were due, so their taxes will be coming into the federal coffers here. I helped them out last 2 weeks ago when ours were due here. California got a delay, and so they're bringing in more money than they anticipated. So they cut their quarterly borrowing estimates, but it's still a record amount. Okay, instead of being draconian, it's huge. The Treasury expects to borrow $776 billion in the last quarter of the year. This is $76 billion lower than what it forecast in July. Okay? Now, but the Treasury expects to borrow $816 billion in the first quarter of next year, also a record for that period. But here's what sent interest rates up. During the third quarter of 2023, which ended, 31 days ago, the Treasury borrowed $1 trillion. Oh, man. And that put a massive strain. Here's my point. Barry, when do you cross the line when the demand is just not there? I mean, it seems like we've kind of found out when what is too much? $1 trillion?
Yeah, and there's I mean, there's certainly different supply and demand factors. You know, there's certain times of the year, right, where, pension funds being one of your biggest buyers because they're trying to, you know, essentially match liabilities. But so they have a certain, you know, kind of built-in required amount. But, you know, just Japan changing their, doing some of their yield, loosening some of their yield controls there, will competes against, right, the U.S. Treasury. So you've just got, you know, other factors. The trick is, you know, not to just dump a bunch of bonds on the market all at one time, right? You got to do it at a measured pace. And, you know, when you go from, like you said, you know, essentially, you know, Biden's budget going up, what, $10 trillion
in a deficit? $10 trillion in 3 years he's added.
Yeah, $10 trillion in a deficit in 3 years. That requires more. What I think it said we're borrowing like I think when I read the story, it was around 700 and. You know, I think $760 billion was expected, and I think it came in about 10% under that number.
Right.
But that's, I mean, that's a significant dollar.
Well, you know, actually, time, right? Okay, here is another factor. I didn't realize this. Investors will now turn to the Treasury's quarterly refunding statement. We're not out of the woods yet. On Wednesday. That's the refunding. That's different.
Right.
If Treasury auction sizes are larger than expected, budget deficit concerns will grow, which will lead to continued tepid demand for Treasuries. So we're not out of the woods. I thought we were out of the woods.
Yeah, it's basically two different reports coming out. One being, I think, like you said, refunding. I think the other one's new borrowing, if I'm not mistaken. But I thought it was all that release is going to come out on one day.
Got tomorrow.
I guess one came in better than expected, and then we got one more to go.
Yes, keep your fingers crossed for tomorrow. The bottom line is, for their fiscal year ended 31 days ago, they spent $1.7 trillion more than what they took in. Okay, the euro inflation fell to 2.9%. Hey, that's pretty good. It's under 3 now. And I continue to say that inflation doesn't seem to be a big, big factor in the market anymore as it continues to dwindle, which, I mean, that's what rising interest rates do. That's what they're designed to do. Okay, here's an interesting, the top S&P 500 performers for the year and the worst. And here you go, where the action has been concentrated in a few stocks. NVIDIA up 177%, Meta up 147%, Palo Alto Networks up 71%, Tesla up 68%. Then you get Royal Caribbean up 68%, General Electric up 63%, that's a shock. Pulte Homes up 58, Eli Lilly 53 on their drug, weight loss drug, Amazon up 52, Adobe up 50. The worst performers, the two worst are solar stocks. Enphase is down 69%, and Solar Edge is down 73%. Moderna down 60%. Those are the worst. Dollar General down 51%. Estee Lauder got cut in half, down 50%. So those are your best and your worst. Okay, here's one bond offering here, just to give you an idea of where we're at. I was talking to someone yesterday that's got a lot of idle cash and money sitting in some very volatile and aggressive types of things. And he would like to get a little bit of income. Well, Bristol Myers, I mean, they're not going to go anywhere, I don't think, over the next 5 or 6 years. They have a bond offering out at 5.75%. 5.75%. So that's just kind of the state of the bond market. We could not find bonds like this a few years back. They just did not exist. So, you know, I say this is way better than the alternative investments that are out there, which are very complicated and high cost. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on a big day for earnings here today. Escalation of the war in Israel. Good news, I guess, from the Fed's borrowing plans. But tomorrow is the bigger one, which is the refinancing plans for their treasuries. And it, like I say, if it comes in big, that's what kind of upset the apple cart last time with the interest rates, the bond market.
That and a combination, obviously, the credit downgrade.
Kind of were
back to back almost.
So tomorrow we'll be watching that very close. That's the refunding statement due on Wednesday. I don't know what time that comes out, but I think it will move the market pretty big time, one way or the other.
Yeah, you know when things that didn't used to garner a lot of attention begin to garner a lot of attention. It's usually not a great sign.
I think we got too much debt. I think if we can't all agree on one thing in America, I think we can agree on we have too much debt.
I mean, it's a seesaw, you know. I mean, and there's where that tipping point
there's
right
is. There's a breaking
is.
Point.
And once it finds it, the market tends to maintain that as the actual breaking point.
And this also, you know, I mean, this kind of debt leads to all of the conversations and theories and suspicions of a digital currency and a monetizing of the debt and other things like that. Okay, CRISPR is on hold for trading amid a key FDA meeting. This is kind of a big one because these CRISPR gene editing stocks, they have a lot of promise, but not much has come out of them since. So I'm very anxious to see what are the results from this. They are doing trying to get approved a gene editing candidate the company has developed with Vertex Pharmaceutical for severe sickle cell disease. So that's very interesting. In the meantime, Lilly is making a gene editing foray. They're getting into the business in a deal with Beam Therapeutics. So Lilly already flush with their weight loss drug is also going to take a little bit of a venture down that CRISPR technology, the gene editing technology. Twitter X is now worth less than half of what Elon Musk paid to buy it. Sometimes I just think he did it to make a political statement. You know, he wasn't happy with the direction they were going. He obviously wants to have it profitable at some point in time. I think he's going to add a lot of features down the road. It's going to be a big financial app. It's going to He's going to call it the Everything app.
Yeah, the Everything app, and that's kind of where I think the X piece came from. But, you know, I mean, looking at Tesla, certainly you mentioned on the show yesterday in terms of, you know, it's another stock that certainly from a chart standpoint has looked weak in terms of where it's at, certainly still just under a 200 level.
Yep, very weak. Pfizer posts top-line miss in Q3 amid a COVID cliff. Okay, well, that should come as no surprise to anybody. And, you know, that's one of the worst charts out there is Pfizer, PFE. So, you know, like I say, you buy a pharmaceutical ETF that's got 25, 30 pharmaceutical companies in it. There's a lot of bad ones in there. Merck, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson just don't have much in the way of prospects going forward for growth. And if you look at the ones that are flourishing inside there, the Novo Nordisk, Lilly, a few others there, quite a few others actually in the drug sector, I would rather cherry pick as opposed to buying an ETF. Now, I know you buy an ETF, you're going to have a few winners, you're going to have a lot of losers, it all kind of evens out, you're not taking too much risk. You know, with one drug maybe going south or whatnot. But still, you're accepting a heck of a lot of mediocrity buying a big ETF on the drug sector because you're getting all the bad stuff, Moderna, et cetera, that doesn't have any growth prospects anymore. One of the worst charts I'm seeing today, Caterpillar, that's a very terrible, horrible chart. Just a plunge there, down 6.5%. Amid investor concerns about future growth. And it's like Barry said, it's not about the earnings that is looking backwards, the earnings report. It's about the earnings forecast. BP is another, not a very pretty chart there. That's another one. You know, the big oil stocks do not look very good at all. We don't own any of them. Exxon, Chevron, BP. Conoco, we just don't own them right now. They just don't look very good. They have their difficulties right now. They're not leaders in the market. But we do have one. The two best charts in the market today, we own Arista Networks. That's a huge winner for us today. It's up 12%, 11.9%. ANET, A-N-E-T, is one of our biggest holdings in our Ultra Growth portfolio, which has 19 stocks in it. It's having a very good year. Arista is the stock of the day, up almost 12%. And Deckers continues to add on, after that huge report with their shoe, a competitor to Nike, a running shoe. That's like their fifth or sixth big hit that they've had. You know, between the sandals, between the UGG boots, and now a running shoe. Deckers is hitting a new 52-week high. It's just an eyelash away. It is hitting a new all-time high. New all-time high today at $594.66 per share. And then, of course, you had just blowout earnings from ANET, which is a artificial intelligence out there on the periphery. Very good report there. Beat expectations, raised their fourth quarter forecast. Amgen, a disappointment. You know, Amgen has not had a hit for quite some time. There has been talk of them having their own weight loss candidate. I think Amgen is a sleeper. They lifted their annual outlook. I keep my eye on AMGN, Amgen, Stellantis, which at one time was Chrysler, and now obviously it has Jeep, Fiat, Dodge, Alfa Romeo, Maserati. It's all over the place. Stellantis actually is up today, 3.2%. It looks like the best stock in the big three. And Stellantis is now based in the Netherlands. That's where Chrysler and Jeep and all of that. Pinterest, P-I-N-S, a difficult stock to get a handle on, but it's up 8. I'll call that the stock of the day. We have the second best. Pinterest is up 18.4%. They have a turnaround strategy. I always like to good turnaround play. Pinterest is, you know, I mean, they have a pretty good product. They have a lot of people that are on Pinterest, that use Pinterest, but they've had very flat earnings growth over the years, so we'll see. JetBlue stock tumbles. The airline stocks have had a rough go. You know, almost everybody I talked to, Barry, I must have been lucky because I didn't have any issues flying to Detroit.
I didn't either. Didn't get hung up or anything. So
but we had some relatives visiting. They're visiting right now. their initial flight out of Idaho, 8 hour delay. And that just, it sets off a chain of dominoes, right? Now you've missed your connector.
Yeah, unless you're flying direct, you've missed who knows how many flights by then.
Big problem. Okay, JetBlue, that's a disaster. It's down 17% right now. That stock's down to $3.46 per share. And they're trying to buy Spirit Airlines, right? That's trouble.
Yeah,
there.
And Spirit seems,
they're in trouble.
It's those smaller carriers, that's another business that's another tough business. I've seen information before that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the airline business as a whole has still never made money, even though obviously certain companies have.
Yes.
But as a whole, there's been a lot of money that's gone into
aviation. The last one on that, Southwest Airlines, which had the model there for many years, that thing is getting just crushed lately. It's cleared down to $22 per share. Okay, when we come back, we're going to look underneath the surface. Because I am seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly today. Let's focus on the good when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow down 21, the NASDAQ down 16. The S&P is up a point, and the small cap Russell 2000 is up about 3 points right now. Let's just check in on interest rates, because that's key. They were flat last time I looked. They're down 2 basis points to 4.85. Okay, now, as we look inside and underneath the surface, yes, the Dow is down 20 points, but what about the 30 stocks that make up the Dow? Well, 3M, there's three winners in there. 3M up 1%, Raytheon up 1%, and Cisco, and Travelers, too. Travelers is up 1%. Travelers has actually had some lift to it here recently because they're in the insurance business. They have a lot of short-term holdings in their reserves, and they're earning a lot of interest on those holdings these days, the insurance companies. On the downside, Caterpillar. That's kind of the disaster of the day here. It's down 6% right now. We don't own Caterpillar. Some came in recently, Barry, within the last couple of weeks. Guess who it came from?
Right.
A big nationwide money manager. That was one of his holdings. I got rid of it. And I don't understand, a lot of the stocks, most of the stocks that they own. But, hey, you know what? That's what makes it a market. And that's what allows us to go where you want to go and do what you want to do in the market. Caterpillar, the disaster of the day, down 6.4. Amgen down 3.9. And Pfizer, I see no reason at all to own Pfizer. Pfizer's down 2.2%. Now, at the S&P 500, we say this a lot. We've got the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today. Anet's up 12.3%. Then the next biggest winner is, a Monolithic Power is a chip company, up 5.4. Dexcom up 3.9. Dexcom made a revolutionary device, but it's way off its all-time highs. In fact, it's half of where it used to be. It was at 164 in 2021. We rode Dexcom for a long time. We don't own it anymore. It's at 88 now, after being at 166 at one point in time. It's up 3.9% today. And then you've got, on the downside, here's another disaster. VF Corp, which makes jeans. Lee Jeans is one of their brands. They make outdoor apparel. They make uniforms. athletic apparel, occupational.
You've got all those. You got all those companies stuck in your head, don't you? You know.
Well, you know what? I have a photographic memory, and I look at these charts every day. And VFC is down 11%. Who do we have? We have somebody back here on math. We have Gildan, right? Gildan Activewear.
Yep. And we do. And then we have
Fruit of the Loom.
And then of course, you know, in the different front, Blackbaud.
Yes, right.
I think it was getting acquired at one point, I thought.
Yeah, we've got plenty of Insperity, I think, is another one that we have here. All right, now, let's look at the VF Corp is down 10.5%. That's a disaster. And, you know, I'll tell you another area of the market that there's just no use owning, having any exposure to the lithium stocks. The lithium market is just getting hammered. Well, you know, I mean, investing in green energy, they've been the biggest losers. The two biggest losers in the S&P 500 this year are solar stocks, down 60%, down 70%. Investing in lithium has not been a good deal.
And those projects get more expensive as interest rates go up. The cost of capital goes up in those calculations in terms of, say, using fossil fuels, right, versus, you know, some kind of renewable energy possibility. And as cost of capital goes up, you know, still makes sense more for the fossil fuel than switching over to, say, solar.
Yes, and this FMC has just been getting hammered, and it's hitting a new low again today. Another disaster, down 8.7. I think they have exposure to lithium. Albemarle has been another disaster in the lithium stocks. And, of course, it hasn't been very good for the big three. I mean, Ford is cutting back on their EV aspirations, and GM seems to be also slowing down the pace. I did read that Ford's going to invest in 13,000 charging stations. They're going to have their own brand, the Blue Oval. Blue Oval will be the name. And they're going to build using Tesla's technology, supercharger.
Okay. It's interesting. I mean, I guess, yeah, they want to build, you know, help build the network out. I'm glad to see that they're all using the same, you know, core.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is, you know, without all the other logistical issues, can you just imagine if you had, it's like certain gas stations, right? It's like, this gas station, you know, this gas is for my car only kind of thing.
I know. Okay, now let's just take a quick look at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is not looking too good today, just flat. Electronic Arts up 2.3. ASM is the number two. It's up 1.9%. Workday's up 1. And on the downside, Amgen 3.9. NVIDIA's down 2.9. And American Airlines down 2.4. Well, we'll be looking ahead to two big things between now and tomorrow's show. AMD's earnings tonight, that's going to be a big deal. I mean, it is a big tech stock these days. I mean, second only to NVIDIA as far as being a market mover. And then, of course, tomorrow's, that'll probably happen after tomorrow's radio show. I assume, I'm not quite sure when that report comes out, but it's going to be that other announcement from the Fed, which could be a bad piece of news that would drive interest rates higher. So today we dodged a bullet. They're not going to need as much money as they thought they would.
I guess Powell will get the last word because he speaks at 2:30, I think.
He'll say something about the economy and the current state of inflation, and I got to believe he's going to say more needs to be done. That's what I would expect from him. Okay,
we're going to pause.
Yes. If you would like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611. There's a lot of people in harm's way with some of the stuff they have, you know. you got to need to be careful right now. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter and see where we stand on the markets right now. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.